Thank you, Brother Aiden, for those thoughts and that account that you gave of that person you had the opportunity to witness to. I had to think of just considering some of the things I've been thinking about sharing this morning. And you know, so many of the people that we run into that kind of have come to that conclusion that I've tried everything religion has to offer, and there's nothing there, and you know, it doesn't do anything for me. They've been deceived. And they haven't tried everything. They've tried everything they can do to add Christ to their life. But one thing they haven't done is stepped out in faith and made a complete surrender to Him. And that is the challenge for us to portray that as a genuine reality in our own lives, so that others can see Christ in us and we can have that freedom to share, you know, when they can see the joy that we have of serving our Lord and a holy life. But so as I've been thinking about this and I see the need in my life for more faith, I just wanted to share a few thoughts on that. Of course, I'd like to read James chapter 2, some verses there starting at 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And I had to, how many of you know what the Royal Gorge is? Have you ever seen it? Anybody ever? Okay. I've been out in the area. I've never actually seen it. But there's a pedestrian bridge there that goes over the Royal Gorge, and I think it's over 950 feet deep. And I don't know how many of you would feel comfortable walking across a pedestrian bridge that's 950 feet in the air. But if someone that would be afraid of heights maybe would struggle with that. I'd like to think I could. But I've not been there and not tried it. But if a person were to look at that bridge and see the people walking across it and say, "Yeah, you know, I think it's safe to walk across that," and someone would invite them to go ahead and do that, and they would walk up to the edge and look down in the gorge and change their mind and say, "I'm not going to walk across that." Do they really believe that it's safe to walk across that bridge? I would tend to say no. But how often do I look at, I can read God's word and I can say, yes, I have my faith in God. I am believing in His word and I have my faith in His word. And yet, how often do I do the same thing to a degree with some of His commands? Walk up to the edge, look at it, and maybe not throw my whole effort, my whole being into really obeying His commands. And I'm deceiving myself if I do that and say I have faith in God. And that's a challenge for my own life. And I want to, you know, Even the atheist, even though he doesn't want to admit it, he has a certain amount of faith in God. He may not recognize it. For example, even I came up here and I set my Bible down on this pulpit, and I was pretty confident it wasn't going to fall through the pulpit to the floor. And there's a reason for that, because I've come to trust the laws that God has created, you know, and when it comes right down to it, all the molecules and particles that this pulpit and this floor and the dirt and everything underneath it is made of is nothing more than, when you really break it down, it's nothing more than energy organized in a certain way. And so and that energy comes from, it's only God. It's His Word that's created it all and organized His power into a way that is something concrete for man to see and use, that is evidence of who He is. And people use these things every day. I use these things every day. I get in my car and drive to work, and I have the confidence to believe that it's not just going to fall apart or disintegrate on the way to work. It might in 15, 20 years or so, but today I have some amount of confidence to believe I'm going to get in my car and it's going to take me back and forth to work. It's not just going to fall apart. And that's because there's aspects of God's laws that we have come to recognize and trust in. And so, like it or not, everyone has a certain amount of faith in an aspect of God. And what I want to do in my life is, even those small things, I want to recognize that as I put some confidence in even some of the things God has created and used them in my life, I want to see God in that. You know, not just go about my day and not think about, you know, the fact that I sat on this chair and I didn't fall to the ground, and not just, well, yeah, it's a chair, you know, it's going to hold me up. But to actually understand that God is what is holding all this together, you know, and it is faith in God that is allowing me to do these things. If I didn't have the faith to believe that the ground was solid, I wouldn't leave my house in the morning. But we do have faith in those things. But I want to see God in those things, because as I start to see that, I can worship God throughout my day. I can see what all He is doing in His creation. I can see what all He is doing, what all He has given into man for His service and to use for God's glory. And though even those small things can cause me to lift my eyes with thanksgiving and worship and praise to God, and it can lift my spirit and give me a joy that will allow others to see me, to see Christ in us, even in the mundane things of life. And I want to exercise that more. Because as we see those day-to-day activities as being putting our faith in God and trusting in Him, then He gives us more grace. And then that in turn gives us the opportunity to exercise that and take steps of larger faith. And then as we see God's faithfulness, when we do that, it just builds on itself, and it can become a snowball effect in our lives, and our faith can become stronger and stronger. You know, many people, I don't know, faith can kind of have this idea of this abstract, you know, it's not really anything tangible. Faith is a concept, but Hebrews, and I would like to read some of that, says it's substance, it's evidence. It's not just some abstract, thing that's intangible. It's something that's very real in our lives. And we may think, well, you know, maybe you read about a man of God in past history who's done amazing things for God and has been used greatly by God for His kingdom, and you say, wow, he really had a lot of faith. But I think we're all capable of having the same amount of faith. And, you know, someone that doesn't have as much faith as this brother or that brother, I think it's that way simply because they've chosen it to be so. And if I don't have my, if I'm not putting my faith in God, I'm putting it in something, and it's probably myself or whatever. People put their faith in all kinds of things, I suppose. You know, money, I don't know, some various forms of health and wellness, or alternative healing practices, even the occult, material possessions. But anything that I am placing my faith in, and that thing becomes my passion or the object of my faith, it greatly hinders God's work in my life. I cannot, you know, God is a jealous God, and He is very jealous of our faith, and He is not going to share that with anything else. And I want to inspect my life and look, you know, am I placing any faith in money or in anything that really God has given to me to reveal His power to me? And I dare not take anything that He has created and put faith in it. I need to recognize God in those things, put my faith in God, and then turn around and use those things for His glory. Webster's 1828, I wanted to look up a little bit what he said about faith, and it goes a little something like this. It's to trust, to persuade, to draw towards anything, to conciliate or bring together, to believe, to obey. So faith includes the concepts of trust, believing, and obedience. It's the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation. This is still from Webster. On the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with a cordial or sincere assent of the will or approbation or favor of the heart, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations. So who God is and His promises. An entire confidence and trust in that. And in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to His guidance and dependence on His merits for salvation. In other words, that firm belief of God's testimony and of the truth of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to an entire reliance on Christ for salvation. So here we see the idea that one having faith in God is drawing near to God. If I say I have faith in God, but I'm not continually drawing nearer to God, my faith in Him is probably not very strong. As an innocent child, one who has faith in God will trust in God as an innocent child does for a parent, for his needs, for protection. He believes God, takes Him at His word. There is no doubt in his mind that all God has said and done is true and faithful to his own integrity. He believes the many promises in God's word, and upon this surrenders his will completely to God, permitting His grace and power to have influence upon his life. This person has a desire to be one with God. His faith permits the new birth, a new heart, a new creation in Christ. It keeps him in a right relationship with God because God's power and character are present in the life of faith. So I tried to find how many times in Scripture the concept of faith and maybe what is contained in the idea of faith is mentioned. And that took me a little while to tally that up. But this would be words like faith, faithful, faithfulness, faithless, unfaithful, believing and all of its derivatives, trusting, obedience, and doubt, and all of the words connected with those. And I tell it was over 1,000 times. And I probably missed some. But I was using eSword, so that helps. But it still took a while. And this is something that God has a lot to say about. He is very interested in our faith and where we are putting it. And there's reasons for that. There's scriptures that say that God's power cannot flow through our life if we do not have faith. And it is, yes, faith is in 1 Corinthians 12, it is listed there with the gifts of the Spirit. So it is a gift of God. And in Galatians 5, it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit as well. So it is a gift of God, and yet it is also a choice of man. It's a cooperation of God and man. He offers the gift, but we have to make the choice to step out in faith and grasp that faith that He offers to us. And then once we do that, it leads us to surrender. It leads us to the new birth. And then His Spirit comes and dwells within us. And then His faith also becomes a fruit in our life. And that faith has its source in God. It's actually God's faith that He has gifted to us. It's not really my faith. I have chosen to take God's faith and make it a part of my life. And it's interesting as you go through Scripture and you look at faith, and it talks about the faith of God, the faith of Christ, And there's, it's in putting our faith in Christ too. You see that too. But I thought it was interesting to read that. And you know, it is Christ's faith in us. It is the faith of God operating in us that produces that holiness and allows the grace of God to flow into our lives and make us overcomers. Faith is actually, the word faith is only mentioned twice in the Old Testament, in the King James Bible, that is. And yet, if we read Hebrews chapter 11, there's a clear connection there that those believers in the Old Testament had a lot of faith. And maybe I'll just go down through and read some of that. Hebrews chapter, actually I'll start at the end of chapter 10, around verse 38, Hebrews chapter 10, 38. Maybe I'll read verse 23 as well. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. God is faithful. He is the one that is faithful. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. And that is, I think that's also, if Paul quotes it, I forget which one of the letters, but that actually comes from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. That's a quote from the Old Testament, but if one of those two instances that I talked about. But if any man draw back, and that word there, I believe, is akin to doubt. If any man have doubt. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. So to doubt God will lead us to eternal destruction. But of them that believe, to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe God's promises, and the Bible is full of them. Noah, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He became an heir of righteousness by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he showed after received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That is interesting. It says through faith that she received strength to do that. So if she had not had that faith, what would have happened? Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They completely put behind them what they had come out of and were moving forward with faith in the promises and instruction that God had given them. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Their faith was in God. They trusted him to take care of things. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, the children of Israel, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, of Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. You know, faith is something that is not just something that we abstractly have. It will do something in the lives of those who have it. We see all these accounts of these people who had faith and what they did. And faith will do something in our lives. May God grant us the grace to surrender and live a life of faith. You know, Jesus mentioned those. There's a few verses. Such as this, Matthew 21:21. He says, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, I've wondered many times what all that means, and I don't know that I'm exactly sure. I don't know if it's possible for me to have enough faith to actually command a mountain to be moved. But I do know that faith in the promises and power of God in our lives can definitely remove mountains. Mountains of fear, of doubt, of selfishness, and mountains of sin. But I must believe God means what He says if I desire this to be a reality in my life. I'll close maybe just with one verse here. But let's reach out in faith. Let's really dig into God's Word and identify the promises that He has given to us as we read it and choose to believe them. And we need to have faith in the promises, but we need to also have faith in the promises of what happens to those who are unfaithful. Promises go both ways in God's Word. There's promises of blessing, but there's promises of punishment and wrath and cursing as well. And we need to embrace all of that, see the heart of God, and embrace the gift of faith that He has given us to live overcoming lives. Close with Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. God bless you.